gusts of anticipation, a feeling of history in the making. All the comments I hear around me suggest that this crowd is hostile toward Eisner and smells blood. The shareholders are passionate about something far more profound than Disney's latest quarterly results. I can only wonder if this was what it felt like at the famous tennis court gathering of the bourgeoisie on the eve of the French Revolution. There is a ripple of murmurs, even a few boos, as Eisner steps to the podium. "Good morning, everybody. I'm Michael Eisner," he begins, his voice hoarse, perhaps because he stayed up so late the night before. "As it happens, this annual meeting is taking place at a time when the amount of vision is once again resulting in a dramatic and, we believe, a substantial upswing in Disney's performance. We now anticipate earnings gains from continuing operations in excess of 30% in fiscal 2004, and we have set a target of double-digit compounded growth in earnings through 2007. And, of course, we are thrilled with a nearly 60% increase in our stock price since our last annual meeting." Eisner acknowledges the slow movement of ABC primetime and the collapse of the Pixar talks. That Sunday, Finding Nemo won the Oscar over Disney's Brother Bear, and "no one would have wanted to continue this relationship more than me," Eisner maintains. "But the economics of the ongoing relationship were not in the interest of our shareholders." Otherwise, he gave a glowing assessment of Disney's prospects. "I love this company. The board loves this company. And we are all passionate about the output from this company." After brief remarks from retiring directors Tom Murphy and Ray Watson, Eisner announces that the board has reached an agreement to allow Gold and Roy to make 15-minute presentations. To a prolonged wave of applause that clearly signals the audience's sentiments, Gold comes to the podium. "Roy Disney and I have been on a mission," he says, "a mission not to promote ourselves, but to save our company." After reciting a litany of board and management failures and compromises, he says, "This is the story Roy Disney and I have told as we have crisscrossed the country in the last 30 days, talking to small and large shareholders alike. Let me be clear. No half measures, no excuses, no amount of spinning will be tolerated. Michael Eisner must leave now." Gold turns and says directly to Eisner, "You have compromised your soul and lost your integrity." Sitting on stage, Eisner looks grim as Gold's barrage comes to an end. Eisner stares straight ahead and looks like he is struggling to keep himself in check. There can't have been many chief executives subjected to such a withering tirade in front of thousands of shareholders. Then, on the darkened stage, Roy suddenly appears at the podium, and many shareholders leap to their feet, applauding wildly. Once the applause subsides, Roy begins. "The Walt Disney Company is more than just a business. It's an authentic American icon, which is to say that over the years it's come to stand for something real and meaningful and worthwhile to millions of people of all ages and backgrounds around the world. Our mission has always been to be bringers of joy, to be framers of the good in each of us, to be teachers, to speak, as Walt once put it, not to children, but to the child in each of us. This is the core of what we have claimed to call Disney." From the rapt attention